I come from Bosnia and Herzegovina. It's a small country as part of ex-Yugoslavia. It's in Eastern Europe, on Balkan area. And I used to work as a UNMI volunteer before in a mission in Eritrea and Ethiopia. And now I'm working here as UNMI in South Sudanese. And it's my privilege and my pleasure to be here. And my work in HIV/AIDS unit here involves of different kind of activities, daily activities that we have. And one very important is confidential VCCT. We say voluntarily confidential counseling and testing. The other part is induction trainings that we have, or let's say HIV awareness trainings that we have to give, and every and each staff member of this mission has to be HIV inducted. When we talk about voluntary confidential counseling and testing, it does actually encompass not only our staff members but also other UN agency staff members, and of course involves international local staff, military and UN police, everyone who serves in this mission. It's about when we do this kind of job, it's about being human and have non-judgmental and open and honest attitude towards the people, and having a friendly attitude to everyone who comes into your office. Of course, there's a lot of stigma and discrimination attached to it, and our service is to be there, to be friendly with them, and to make them feel comfortable, and to create rapport before we actually start talking about it. One challenge that we find there when it comes to VCCT is that we don't have office in your house, and many people who would like actually to come and to do the counseling and testing, they are a little bit logistically, let's say, challenged, as well as a time-consuming effort. But most of people who are here, they are welcome every day. We work here, you know, from Monday to Friday, and even Saturday and Sundays, because I live here. If some people call me, I'm always available, and we can do that. And for people to do that, it's just to give them the sign of relief. As always, we say, test and treat. Because according to WHO policy, it's not anymore about the number of CD4 cells that you have, and the treatment starts. Now everyone who actually discovers or is tested HIV positive can start the therapy immediately. And with this antiretroviral therapy, it means that you can start taking it, and from the moment you take it for the rest of your life, it means that you will extend your life and you can live a healthy, normal and more meaningful life. And the progression from HIV infection to AIDS will be actually extended or will be postponed. So instead, let's say we can say like 10 to 15 years, you can live 20 to 30 years like every other disease. In this case, we can say like diabetes, when you have to take insulin for the rest of your life.
Right. And now, Alma, you're talking about stigma being one of the challenges here. So what are some of the other specific HIV/AIDS related issues that have caught your attention here in South Sudan?
That's one of the biggest, not only in South Sudan, I think it's worldwide. It's about stigma discrimination. It's our negative attitude and, let's say, totally judgmental and non-accepting the people with any kind of, let's say, disabilities, any kind of disease or infection, and especially when it comes to HIV-related issues, because HIV is always associated with sex. And when it comes to these things, we will again connect it to the cultural practices, to different kind of norms and different kind of values that we've been brought up. So it means different kind of backgrounds that we all come out from. You know, this is a beautiful multicultural, multinational and multiracial environment, and I've been living in this kind of environment for the last 25 years of my life, and it enriched my life, you know, personally. It built me, you know, as my integrity. So I would say that the first thing that we all have to work on, it's actually changing our attitude and making our behavior much better towards people living with HIV, showing our solidarity, showing our support, and giving the best from ourselves, from our heart. And that's why we have this kind of program. That's why we do this HIV awareness daily basis. That's why we try to induct people every day, all newcomers to come here. And also we are involving the other UN agencies, as well as when we have different kind of trainings, like, for example, peer education training. We have it, it's 10 days training. People come and they will really learn a lot about HIV, about sexual transmitted infection in depth. At the same time, we have a HIV/AIDS counseling course that lasts for 18 days, where people actually learn about counseling skills, how to apply them, and how to do it in their daily lives. What's important with peer education is that by teaching our participants about HIV and issues related with HIV and the prevention strategies. It's about them being able to go outside in their communities, to go to their family members and to spread the message, because the only way, knowledge is a power, and the only way we can change people's behavior and thinking is actually by trying to influence them positively and persuade them to, by having more knowledge and having more facts about something, it means that misconception will be avoided, and that way, you know, we will start changing our behavior in a better way, and our attitude towards people living with HIV as well will come much more humane and better, as it should be, because we are all the same. We're all human beings under this sky, so we all have to be treated with dignity and respect, regardless where we're from, what we are, what our background is, regardless if you are HIV positive or HIV negative.
Right. Doctor, this is now on a personal level. What are some of the major challenges you have encountered, and how have you overcome the challenges to ensure that you work with the HIV unit continues?
As I just mentioned, because I'm talking and mixing your questions here and actually answering, because they're very much interconnected to each other. As I said, the biggest challenge when we talk about living and working in a multicultural environment is multicultural. So it means it is cultural norms and values that we have, and the way how we've been brought up through our lives. And of course, nothing happens over the night. The Rome wasn't built over the night, isn't it? So
yes,
it's the same thing here. It means we have to dedicate a lot of time and effort in order to change people's beliefs and to change people thinking on certain aspects of their lives, thinking on different kind of infections, thinking about STIs, thinking about HIV. And again, I'm saying one of the biggest taboos in the world is talking about sex, especially, let's say, in very much conservative environment and conservative societies, let's say different kind of tribes, because I hear these kind of different stories. And it is very hard to break through it and to actually try to reach to these people and to reach out to them. However, I have to say, we have many groups who would come to us and ask our section to come to their actually communities and to give talk about HIV and to try to educate people about HIV, about STI, about actually the risk assessment, about the prevention strategies and how to do it and what to do in order to avoid, in order to prevent themselves. Again, as I said, it is about the customs that we have. It is our inbuilt beliefs that we have. But again, as I'm saying, communication is a very powerful tool. And by communicating with people, we can persuade them and we can influence them to start changing their thinking and behaving properly with dignity and respect, everyone who is with HIV. Another thing that we have here in this mission, because this is a large mission, and our mandate it is that we have to reach every and each staff members of UNMISS. It is actually getting to each of them and every of them, because we're all human beings and we all have our strengths and weaknesses, and we all occasionally come to different kind of temptation, let's be honest about
right.
it. So, and you know, doing like that, as we are human beings, being away from our families as well, you know, it can put us, let's a bit say, inconvenient situation when we do things and we act in the way that we would have never done it so. But if we have in the back of our mind certain facts that could prevent us doing something, it means in that way we are going to look after our health and health about our family. Health is the, let's say, the most valuable thing that we have in our life, and once, you know, we lose it, it's very hard, you know, to retrieve it back in the way that we had it before. I have to say, this is actually an opportunity for me to thank to all high officers, high figures in this mission, contingent commanders and everyone in charge, who enabled us to actually have trainings, HIV induction training with their officers and with their soldiers, because only in Juba area we have about 6,350 people. I'm not even talking about the rest of states. We have other 8 officers who are working around the South Sudan, and it means we have to cover like 21,000 people. So it is a big work. It's a challenge challenging work at the same time. It's interesting and very much rewarding. Every person who leaves our office and learns something about it and can transfer that knowledge to his friend, to his family, to his child, and change his attitude when it comes talking about sex, it means that he will know how to actually approach his own child and to tell him some fact so that his child will go on the right path. Because we are the first one, and education about sex, about sexual transmitted infections, about HIV starts in the house. And then we can talk, okay, education mm-hmm. continues at school, education continues at work, and that's what we are doing here on our daily basis.
Right. Dr. Palma, Alma, we left with only 4 minutes. Sorry. Finally, if there is an advice or a message to people handling or even interacting with people living with HIV AIDS, what would that advice be?
Before I say that, I would just like again to thank to everyone who participated at the World AIDS Day that happened on 1st December. We celebrated it, actually commemorated it on 30th of November. And all of our participants, all our AMIS members who were there, who actually gave their effort, their time, with a big passion and big commitment, you know, to help us go through that. And all the runners who came here at 6:30 in the morning, mm-hmm. as well as for the 2 weeks, we had all different sport activities, you know. I thank them so much from the bottom of my heart, because in that way we all managed to convey the message and unite against HIV and the increased awareness about AIDS and the spreading infection of HIV. And also it's about showing solidarity and support to people living with HIV. And we have to say that the theme is right to health. Mm-hmm. When we talk about right to health, it is our enjoyment to the highest standard possible of mental and physical health. And when we talk about it, it's not only access to the medicine, it's about all the other aspects of health that we have to have, and it's about being treated with dignity. It is about adequate sanitation. It's about, you know, the gender equality. It is about nutritious food. It is a good rest and relax, and it's about exercise that we have. So the last message that I would give, mm-hmm. the last and the most important message I would say to everyone is that let's be good and humane people, real human beings. Let's treat everyone who is living with HIV with respect and dignity, show them solidarity, show them compassion and empathy. And whatever, in however, whichever way we can be there for them, we should be emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, financially. Whatever it comes from us, it means a lot, because there are people like us. And one thing to remember, that can happen to us anywhere in this world. No one is immune to HIV. So, as I said, it's about affection, love and care, and it is communication, and please, zero stigma and discrimination. They are part of our lives, they are part of our community, okay? So, as I said, let us all be friendly and let us be receptive. And one thing that always goes is, we can sit with them and we should sit with them and enjoy with them. We can shake hands with them. We can hug them. We can talk to them. We can eat with them. We can do every daily activities with people with HIV and try to give the best we can to make them feel as very important and capable part of this community, right, wherever we are.
Right.